New Scientist, Tech News, reported this week, and I think it needs a little bit of explanation, and we've got just the man to do it. A citywide quantum communications network in Hefei, China, that's been running for almost 3 years, is the largest demonstration to date of how a future quantum internet might work. I'd heard nothing about this. So, Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is online to us now. Fevzi, thank you for doing this. What is a quantum data network when it's at home?
So a quantum data network is a network which is generally thought at the moment to be unhackable, I have to say, just like, you know, certain ships were unsinkable. Mm-hmm. But in theory, it's unhackable. So it's not to do with it being super fast, because when we think of quantum computers, we think about, you know, computers that can solve problems in an instant. It's not about that. It's about the security of the communication. Now, when we encrypt data, that's to say scramble it in order to send it over a communication link, we have to send a key, which is what is then used by the recipient to unlock it. And the problem has been traditionally that the key can be intercepted. If the key is intercepted, then it's possible that the message could be decoded without our knowledge. With the core of quantum communication is something called quantum key distribution, which uses the quantum states of particles. So things like photons, for example, have different quantum states. A binary state, they can be, you know, up or down, or the spin can be one way or the other way. So with those quantum states, if you have a string of photons, say, you can actually represent digital information, which is the key. Now, the difference is when digital information is sent in the form of the quantum states of photons, if that information is read, it changes the quantum state. The act of reading the information changes the state. And therefore, as soon as anyone were to read it, it would be immediately obvious that they had read it, and the communication would cease. So it wouldn't work in essence. So the reason why this is important is things like, you know, banking and finance and any sort of secure systems. We don't want our communications hacked. So it's not that these links are super fast, they're not, but they are super secure. And the Chinese have been working hard on this. They've done it through fiber optic cables over hundreds of kilometers. They've also managed to do it by bouncing it off satellites as well, and therefore achieving much wider networks. And they're working with other countries, including Italy and Russia, for example, and they're going to try and make a sort of international network. So, you know, it reminds me of the early days of the internet, you know, when all these little networks started to join together and form what became the modern internet. And this could become part of the internet, or initially it could be reserved for these very sort of secure networks that are required by, you know, military and finance. And,
well, certainly initially I would have thought, as far as you're aware, and there's no reason why, you know, you should be aware, but I presume that we are going to be working on this too in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, the theory, I mean, I think the UK is quite good at sort of, we've got some great theoretical scientists. Unfortunately, when we left the European Union, we also bailed out some of the joint projects that we were working with our European friends. These things are expensive projects. I'm not aware of a UK project to do this. I'm sure it will come, and the mathematics of it is well understood. The challenge of it is to make it work in practice. You need quite a lot of data redundancy. You know, the quantum state of photons are not very robust, so you have to work quite hard to make the photons transmissible without losing their quantum state. Over a long period, over a long distance. So, I would like to think we're doing on it. I'm not aware of any projects. I'm sure we'll catch up, but I don't know. I think a country of this size for these sorts of projects, it sometimes would benefit from working with other countries. And it's interesting that UK was not named as one of the countries that's working with this sort of five or six countries that are working with China.
Maybe that tells us something that we might read about in the newspapers.
Probably tells us if we keep accusing them of all the things we are in terms of espionage and so forth, then
We'll go to the back of the back of the queue, as they say, in the UK. Just very, very quickly, in 60 seconds or less, if we can, I read this week that there'd been some kind of launch event or some kind of event connected with Windows 11. I'm sure that I read a report saying it was September the 22nd. There was some kind of rollout or some kind of explanation of something. Where are we at vis-a-vis Windows 11?
Yeah, so Windows 11 is due to launch in October. So not yet. I mean, it will be with other entities such as you know, computer manufacturers and so forth, who will have to load it up there. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't have a mad rush to try and upgrade your, I use the word upgrade loosely, but to try and upgrade your Windows 10 to Windows 11. I just don't think there's any rush for that. There will be plenty of time to do that. And I mean, if you're buying a machine, a new machine now, then you might want to hold off until you know you can get one that's got Windows 11 on it. But I wouldn't, if you've got Windows 10 and it's running well, I'd recommend leaving it alone for now and not even doing it in October when they launch it. Just give it time. There's no rush. There will be bugs in that software, and the more severe ones will be fixed relatively quickly. So,
and of course, the old question for people like me who have limited budgets for these things is, you know, can computers designed originally to work for 7 that you've upgraded to 10 be put on 11? Only the future will tell the answer to that one. Fevzi, if people want to ask tech questions of you, you are forever available, omnipresent. Where do they go?
Yeah, well, there's two things. Jot along to gadgetdetective.com, but also to ask questions, you can do that via Twitter at gadgetdetective.
Thank you for helping me again. Fevzi Turkup is the definitive, the one, the only gadget detective.